Okay, so Lord, we just praise you and thank you for the night. And let's get together with all my brothers and sisters. I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time that you've gotten us into, that will all be used in this great revival that's fixing to happen as soon as the Lord declares it. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the getting rid of all the chemtrails, getting rid of all of the pharmaceutical companies that have been poisoning people for years. And thank you, Lord, for getting rid of all the deep state people in our government. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for some better times coming and some real tough times coming too, Lord. But we're not going to be tough with you, Lord. With you, it's going to be a breeze. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that tonight that you're going to lead us and guide us into all that you want us to do. And I thank you, Lord, that when we pray, we know our prayers are answered. They're going to be answered in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for provisions for everyone that needs it in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for healing power going through all who need healing right now that are listening. And I praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who resides in us. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that He teaches us, leads us, and guides us, and keeps us. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to pray about or say? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
There's a usually on Wednesdays I go with Merle to the donut shop, and there's this one man named Keith. He's 73, 74, something like that. And
Your voice is not very clear. It's more kind of, I don't know how you'd say it, but it's kind of like scattered.
I don't know.
That's better. That's better. When you speak into it like that, it's a lot better.
Okay. Anyway, his name is Keith, and his birthday was on Wednesday. And so Merle usually talks to him a lot. And I know Merle had said that he had said one time when he was going through some health issues that he knew or something, that he wasn't right with the Lord, but I don't know, where he is with the Lord. But anyway, so I gave him one of those tracts and I said, "Happy birthday." Anyway, so Father, I just pray for Keith, and I pray, Lord, that he reads that and he comes to an understanding what the gospel is, and that he needs to repent and believe in you, and that he would, and repent of his sins and come into the kingdom, Lord, and run after you with all his heart and save his wife and his children and grandchildren too. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I think and really put it in his I need to want to go to the website and check out the website and leading Lord to where you want him to go, what you want him to read, let him find the books. I think I directed him, told him where they were, and that they were free. So, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for directing him to what it is he needs to read in Jesus' name, and that give him eyes to see and ears to hear. And be able to comprehend and understand what he reads. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
It's hard to hear me when I'm muted, isn't it? Amen. All right. Is there anyone else that's got something they'd like to pray about or talk about? Okay. All right. Okie dokie. I have something that I'm going to throw out there that I heard today on the internet. And it was this, and it was from Kenyon. All I saw was the title. I didn't get into it. I didn't have time. I was doing something else. But he said, we are using amen in the wrong way as we end our prayers. Amen. This is all I know about it. Does anybody have any idea of what he might be talking about? And one of the things that he did say in the topic and subtopic was that Jesus never used it in his prayers, never used it as far as the Bible's concerned. And I think his contention is this, is that amen is more of a, not a declaration as much as it is, we hope that it happens type of thing. Has anybody got any thing on something like that? That's the first time I've heard that. Yeah, Missy.
Well, my understanding is that amen means so be it, or let it be, you know, in other words.
Yeah, that's hope. That's not faith. That's what
Exactly.
he think. That's what he's saying, you know. And this is the first I've ever heard this. And you're right. That's what they say it means. It means so be it, or it's happening, or whatever. It's a conclusion, hopefully. But I just thought I'd open that up and see if anybody has any background on that. Yeah, Judy.
No, I mean background on it. I always just thought it was a way of everyone agreeing, that yeah, I agree with what you said. Yeah, I agree with what you said. When you prayed something and we're all in agreement. And I think that's kind of even I don't know.
Well, I think
G
his con
Jesus is the Amen. And he says he's the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Amen. So it's like he's, he is the Word. He's the Amen. So it's like whatever we pray, and we use it, pray in His name. Don't know. He's saying it's gonna. What's that? Where's that scripture at, you guys? It's in Corinthians about, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Yes and amen. Or in them is the amen. I know you know.
Well, what was
Yeah, that's.
notable, what was the most notable thing about it was that Jesus never used it as an ending to a prayer. And that's what he said. And I didn't check anything on it. I was doing something else at the time. But that just struck me kind of funny, you know. We use amen all the time, you know. But if it's wrong, I don't want to be using it. So I just throw it out there. Maybe we could talk about it next time. Yeah, Missy.
Well, I looked up amen just in the Gospels, and amen is only used once, and that's at the very end of, I believe it's Mark 16:20. Yeah, at the very end of that, and it says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. Amen.
Okay.
Now, Let me look on the numeric, see what the numeric
Why you,
has.
why you, why you go ahead and look at that, and I'm gonna let Pat go ahead. Or Joe, I mean, Joe's been waiting for a while. Is that okay? All right, go ahead, Joe.
My suggestion is why Jesus don't use amen is what Julie says. He is the amen. In other words, what we pray for, if we say amen for me, in other words, it's already been done at the cross. In other words, let it be like that. It's already been done at the cross. We don't have to do anything for it. It's been done. So I would think is why Jesus didn't use it, because he is the amen. He cannot use it because while we pray always and always in the name of our Lord Jesus, because he is the amen. He is everything has been done. We just have to believe and trust him for it.
Judy, can you tell me what he was talking about?
I think he is pretty much reemphasizing what I said, that he is the Amen.
That's why he don't use the amen, is because he is the amen. He cannot use himself.
I
He
got you.
represents the Father.
Okay. All right, good deal. Go ahead, Pat. I'll get you in a minute, Missy. Okay.
I was looking, did exactly what Missy did and looked up amen. So in the Old Testament, if you read chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 27, obviously I didn't.
Rose up.
Sorry.
Read
Sorry, I'm sorry.
that.
He said the old covenant, that this is not the old covenant. I don't know where you were going with that because you cut out. So I'll just throw that up there.
Am I back?
Yeah, you're back now. I can hear you now, but.
So obviously the old covenant, we can understand a pattern, or and like David says, drag it over in the spirit and interpret the pattern there. So you can do that by going to Deuteronomy 27, and every one of the verses basically is that they use the amen. They end each verse and say, "And all the people shall answer and say amen." So there's 30 verses there that you can read, and I think it's in that use, it's confirming that yes, we confirm that this is true or this is right or whatever. However, over in the New Testament, and again, I didn't read all these things. I just caught a couple examples in the Gospels where Jesus, in Matthew 6, he "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," and then he goes through that prayer, and at the very end of it, "and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from all thine that is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So Jesus used it as an example, to, I'm assuming, to confirm that, that prayer, or confirm that, I think we use it as an, a period at the end of a sentence or something, or to end the statement type thing. But I, Jesus also did the same thing, but it was a, I'm assuming, a confirmation of the truth of that, what he just said. He also prayed a prayer. This may be the same example over in Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Oh, I'm sorry, in the wrong verse. In Matthew 28, and this may be the one that, yeah, this is the one that Missy brought up, I think. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, into the end of the world. Amen.
That's not in the ASV, it looks like.
Oh, the amen isn't?
No.
They have the, and this is in the Strong's King James Version, obviously. And it has the word, the Greek word 281 is in that verse. So I don't know if it's in the Greek or they.
It's not in the NENT either.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you threw that on us, so I haven't really.
Yeah.
I didn't really get a chance to look at it. I was just going through a couple examples, but.
Yeah, it's in the King James. Yeah, I see it there. But it's not in the ASV nor the NENT, it doesn't look like.
Okay. All right. Well, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like I said, all I saw was the headlines on it, and I didn't get to listen to the whole, near any of it, hardly. And I wondered about that, and that's why I wanted to bring it up. Yeah, Missy.
Well, what I found was in the NENT, it's not in Mark 16:20 at the end, okay? So, as David would famously say, there's no numeric pattern in that. Anyway, except it doesn't really say it that way, but anyway. But, like, you know, like there's a lot of places where, like in the King James, and more in the King James, I think, than the ASV, like they have the Lord saying, verily, verily. Actually, in the numerics, he says, amen, amen. And he starts a lot of things with amen or amen, amen. But he doesn't, I didn't find anything where he says amen at the end in the numerics.
Okay.
And let me give you some quick examples. And it's not really, and it's like, my understanding is that when he uses it, it's like making a declaration, rather it's not a prayer that he's saying this. So let me give you an example. Like, for instance, where he says, amen, amen. Let me find one here. Where they all go. Jeez, please. They were
What's
right
the
here.
Reference?
Okay, John 1:51. And it seems like he says that a lot in John, in the book of John. I think that's the only place where he says, amen, amen. In John 1:51, and it says, and he says to him, amen, amen, I say unto you, you shall see the heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And then John 3:3, is Jesus answered and said to him, amen, amen, I say unto you, except one be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. 3:5, Jesus answered, amen, amen, I say unto you, Except one be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then 3:11 says, Amen, amen. I say unto you that we speak what we know and witness what we have seen, and you receive not our witness. He says a lot in John. He's a lot. That's the only place he says amen, amen at the beginning of something. And but other places, the other three gospels, he'll start out something with amen, or in the middle of something, he'll say something like, for instance, Luke 12:37, blessed are those bond men who the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Amen, I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and shall come and serve them. So, that's interesting. Very good observation he made.
I'll have to go back and look at it. Go ahead, Julie.
Thanks, Missy. That was really good. I was looking at that too, and I was kind of looking to see what the word means, you know, in the vines, New Testament, and just a faithful amen. The faithful Jehovah that is faithful, the God of truth. I know you use verily, verily a lot too. It depends, I guess, on what. Or truly, truly, verily, verily. He uses that a lot too, depending on what translation you're in. When I was just doing an amen in ASB, I found the amen is the end of a lot of things that in a lot of Paul's letters. He used amen a lot, and it's in Peter as well at the end of things.
Okay.
Yeah, where he says amen. And it's Romans and Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Timothy, Philemon, Hebrew, yeah, First and Second Peter, Jude, and it's in Revelation. But it's describing, well, Revelation 1:6, and he made us to be a kingdom, to be priests unto his Father. God and Father, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now that's ASB. And even so, amen. When it comes about, he's coming in the clouds and I will see him. That's Revelation 1:7. It's in Revelation a few times. That's, like I said, in ASB. Anyhow. And Michael, not to change the subject, but when we left on Tuesday, you wanted us to look at a scripture. I don't know if you remember if that was being perfect in love, 1 John 4, about perfect love. Okay. I don't know if you remember
I
that
remember
or not.
That what piqued my interest. Hey, Nick, piqued my interest when he said that Jesus never said amen, and we shouldn't use it either. And there was a reason behind it. He always has a reason, but I didn't get into it. We can do that some other time. Go ahead, Pat, if you want to expound on that a little bit.
Excuse me. No, I didn't want to expound. I just I wanted to. So I, whether this is correct or not, or what this version is, or whatever, but in Esword, the actual Greek New Testament. For that verse 28:20, it does have the Greek word for amen at the end of that verse. That's that teaching them to keep all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you all the days till the consummation of the age. And in the Greek, there is an amen after that. That being the case, I have a question, and that is, if he said we're using the amen wrong, what is his understanding of the right way.
Exactly. I didn't get to
Oh,
listen to
okay. Okay.
it.
Who is it?
A.W. Kenyon.
Oh, okay.
If he
All
said
right.
it, he's got a reason, I'm sure. But
All right.
I'll have to go back. We can do this some other time. Go ahead, Missy. I did want to throw it out there, so if you want to check it out, it's on YouTube.
Thayer's definition of amen means firm, metaphorically faithful, verily amen, at the beginning of a discourse, surely, truly, of a truth, at the end, so it is, so be it, may it be fulfilled. It was a custom which passed over from the synagogues to the Christian assemblies that when he who had read or discoursed had offered up solemn prayer to God, the others responded, Amen, and thus made the substance of what was uttered their own. I thought that was pretty good. And we do have a habit of, I know at times I do, and I've heard a lot of other people say, like somebody will be saying something and they'll say, Amen, like, I agree. To me, that's, an agreement. When I do that, at least, like, Amen is saying, yes, I agree. So be it, whatever. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's just something to kind of think about. Okay. Where was that scripture that I quoted last week? First John something or other. Four?
1 John 4:18, there
Four
is no
eighteen, yeah.
fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath punishment, and that feareth is not made per and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. That was the scripture. I don't know if there are other scriptures with it, Michael, but that was the
That was it.
primary one.
Yeah, that's pretty much it right there. And I think the question that I ask, why does love cast out fear? How does that affect us? And I think most of us are going to get to the first one, but there's more. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, perfect love to me means that I've been obedient to the Lord. And if I've been obedient to the Lord and I have nothing in my conscience that's then I don't fear the discipline of the Lord, the getting spanked. I don't fear the fear being like I said,
Can
disciplined.
you turn up your microphone volume from your settings?
As far as I know, it's okay.
Go into settings and under sound, it'll have it, and under microphone.
I don't know. I don't know. I've looked for that
Okay, it
on the
sounds good
tablet.
now. That's when you it sounds good, I guess, right
I
now.
don't know.
Okay,
Okay.
go ahead. You may begin. Did you have any more you want to
No,
add? Okay. All right. I missed some of that, a lot of that, actually, Missy, but we might do. All right, anybody else on that? What part of love casts out fear? What is Jesus? It's love. All right. I know some of y'all looked at it, didn't you? Possibly. Well, we can come back to that. Nobody did. Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I was trying to look up that other that there's a couple store there's a couple YouTubes on from Kenyan there that one of them is Jesus never said amen. And there was another one that he that was in there. The forgotten power of the spoken amen. So there's a couple of them in there that that you can look at.
Okay.
So I think for me, what number one, just a second, I'm getting back into my Bible here. I'm looking at the internal aspects of when he says makes that statement, perfect love casts out fear. And that is, I'm not looking at that as being an external thing, meaning a perfect love in me casts out fear in the exterior or in the environment out there or in someone else or whatever. But it, I'm looking at it in terms of perfect or completed love, our love for God, for Jesus, the perfected or completed aspect of that love. Meaning that it is not only in spirit, but in soul. And of course, that replicates and affects certain things in the body. And so that perfect love, you know, that word, obviously that word for perfect means complete, completed. And I believe he's referring to the love that we, you know, well, let's just read that. If you go back up to verse 12 in 1 John chapter 4, I believe is the first place he speaks about God's love perfected in us. I may be wrong. I'm looking up there now. So he said, you know, where does that love come from? 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Boy, it's hard to go back and find a starting place in this, for the whole chapter is good. So I won't. So what it, so he said, we ought to love one another. Verse 12, no man hath beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And I think that his love is perfected in us is not only a statement of faith, but a statement of the fact that God has completed, has put the perfected, completed love in our spirit, as we have loved Jesus because he has loved us. And that love was born again in our spirit, as our spirit was born again. And the completing or the perfecting of that perfect love, that perfecting in us of that perfect love, of course, has to be worked out through the through our soul and our actions and our body. And I believe that is the completing portion of that work. Hereby we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. And then of course John shows us the way that we actually apply that. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we know we have believed the love which God hath in us, and we know and have believed the love which God hath in us. And I highlighted that little section of that verse today when I was reading this, and it's the in us portion of that verse. And we know and have believed the love which God hath in us. In other words, what I saw is that God has deposited his love within us. God is love, and he that abideth in love abides in God. And God with us, that we may behold in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so we are of this world. There is no fear in love. And a few weeks ago, I saw this. I guess I was refreshed about that, this, and in reference to struggling in the struggle to let praise and acknowledgement and confirmation come out of my mouth in the presence of, say, you know, the people around me, my coworkers and what else. There's a hesitation a present to do that in you know, in the work environment today. I'll just have to say that. But even though that be the case, I've recognized there's a certain hesitation or reluctance within me to do that anyway, which I confess is sin. But and it brought me to that point of saying, Lord, increase my love for you. You loved me to the degree that you gave yourself up to the cross for me. Now please do the same in me, and let my love be of that extent for you. And only, I believe, only that the love of that degree is what removes all and any power of the carnal life or the old nature, or whatever you want to call it, it removes the power from that old man to actually done us, and it neutralizes that power, that great love we have for Jesus, for God. He says, perfect love casts out fear. I believe it casts it out of us, out of our carnal flesh man, puts it to death. Because fear hath punishment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. So, and then of course he concludes it, we love because he first loved us. And of course, you know, if you read on through the chapter, you see, like, you know, he's talking about also working that out in our love for the brethren. You know, if we remember that Jesus, you know, in those last days before he left the earth, he said to, he's told his the disciples, I give you a new, you know, behold, I give you a new commandment, a new one, and that is that you love one another even as I have loved you. So anyway, that's just kind of what I was thinking about it.
Okay, Cheryl, go ahead.
Blessings, everyone. I would like to ask for prayer. I've been struggling with a really bad headache and chest pain. And my left arm is like numb all the way down to my fingers. And it's the symptoms have gotten worse, and I'm casting down. I don't know if it's my heart or lungs, but I've cast it down. I've examined myself. I've confessed any sin that was brought to my heart, and I claim the healing of Jesus by the blood of Jesus. I've been healed, and so I just need agreement that okay. This is a lie from the devil, and I'm not under the curse, and these symptoms have to go in the name of Jesus.
Amen. All right, now I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to heal you. But you cannot confess the bad report from this point on. It makes no difference. You're healed. You're healed, and you're healed. In the name of Jesus right now, I command this discomfort in her chest to go. I can't remember it all. Somebody help me here. Headache, you be gone in Jesus' name. Discomfort in her whole body, be gone right now in the name of Jesus. And you spirit of infirmity, leave Cheryl's body now. I don't mean next week. I'm talking about right now. You leave her in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that Cheryl is completely healed, delivered, and set free. And I praise you and thank you, Lord, that she is. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Because by his stripes, she's healed. Praise be to God. By his stripes, she's healed. And that is an awesome, awesome verse for that. Go ahead, Jenny.
Amen. We rebuke the demons that have been sent against Cheryl of any form of witchcraft and curses and retaliation and things spoken against her for the last few weeks. And we just praise you, Lord, that she is your daughter. And we thank you, Lord, you're giving her the strength and the encouragement to hold fast, that she has been standing in faith and she continues to stand in faith. And we thank you, Lord, for the manifestation. It's gone. We thank you, Lord. All these symptoms are gone. Thank you, Lord, that she has been made whole by the blood of Jesus Christ and perfected in the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
And I also want to say that there is come to a conclusion to the lawsuit against me. The Lord, through this, has done a good work in me, and I praise the Lord for the trial that I went through. I lost the lawsuit. I had no attorney, and this man got everything, and I haven't heard anything. It's been several weeks since the trial ended, but they said I have to give the two vehicles and $150,000, and they basically said that I neglected Ben, and all the witnesses that came forward are people that we hold up in high standard, but yet every one of them lied on me for this man to get what he wanted. And I hold nothing against them. I've been praying for them. I forgive them. I know what the Lord was doing in me, and that was letting go of everything. And I praise the Lord for that. I don't see this as a bad thing, because the Lord had a work to do in me, and it was a trial, a test that I had to go through for God to try me, so he could purify me and get any flesh that was in me. And I'm praying now for the people that were involved in this, that now the ball is in their court and God is testing them to see, to test them, to see what choices they'll make. So I'm praying that they'll all come to the Lord and do the right thing for their soul's sake. And I also, I got a testimony, well, this is a good testimony because God done a work in me, but just don't sound good because I lost in the worldly way.
Let me say something, Cheryl, right here. Can I pray right here at this moment?
Sure.
Okay. Father God, I thank you for the work that you're doing in Cheryl, that you've already done in Cheryl. And I praise you that you have completed that work in her. She has love in her heart, even for her enemies. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you run back time, that you send back time, you turn back time and write this for Cheryl in Jesus' name. I know that sounds like a lot, but Lord, I know you can do it. I've seen you do it before. You can do it now. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father, that it will come out, that Cheryl gets what is hers and the other man gets whatever he gets. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. You believe that, Cheryl?
Yes.
God can do that?
Yes, he can do anything.
Yeah, he can. And I thank you, Lord, for fulfilling the work that you're doing in Cheryl, too, because she has that love in her heart, even for her enemies.
Yes.
And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God.
Amen. I was leaving out of the parking lot, and I pulled out into the street, and somebody come up behind me and rammed the truck. And it was rush hour. I mean, you couldn't hardly move. But anyways, I looked in my rearview mirror, and there was parts of vehicle on the ground. And I tried to pull over to see, but that person that ran into me and hit me just took off, and ran away. And so I tried to pull over, and they were honking at me to not, stop. So I just went ahead and went on, and I got home. I got out of the truck and looked at the truck, and there was nothing wrong with my truck. It was their car that got messed up. So I praise God for that.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Lord,
Amen.
you're an awesome God.
Yes, he is.
Amen. That's a good testimony. I'll have to tell David that one.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that has happened through this. My younger brother, that he didn't have a lawyer either, so we both he didn't get fined, I got fined. But and I'm praying that God can change that.
When he reverses time and goes back and does this again, and you run out, you'll understand.
And I'll just praise God for everything that happened, and I'll remember. God will bring it to my remembrance, the other things that he done that was just could only be God in this for a testimony. So thank you
Amen.
all for agreeing to for my infirmity. No, it's not my infirmity because I don't have it anymore. It's been taken
Nope,
away.
you
Thank you, Lord.
don't.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Amen.
Glory be to God. All right, Nick, what you got, bro?
I got a prayer request.
Okay.
I went to the doctor today to get my eye checked, and they said everything looks good.
Awesome.
Awesome. So, and then he gave me some medicine to put in there every 4 hours to make it calm down. So,
Okay. What is it that's wrong with you?
was my eye.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he said it might be like an allergy kind of a thing or something.
Nope, not anymore. In the name of Jesus, we command that eye to line up with the word of God and be healed right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. When he wakes up in the morning, it's all going to be well, healed and delivered. And he's going to praise you right now for healing his eye in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that Nick's eye is healed. You don't have to worry about that medicine. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Amen, brother. All right, Pat.
That was a wonderful testimony from Cheryl. Cheryl, I don't know if you, I don't think you were on the meeting Tuesday, but I might encourage you to. There's a book by Merlin Crothers called Prison to Praise. And you might want to, if you can get a hold of that, you might want to read that because it explains exactly what you just went through. So, and exactly what we're all going through, I think, right now. So, praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for putting just a spirit of thankfulness and gratefulness and just a pour. Let Cheryl be blessed by pouring out thanksgiving to you for what you have led her through and brought into her life, Lord, as we all do, Lord. We thank you, Lord, these things that have come into our life, these struggles, these needs have all worked together for good in our life to bring us to the place of giving you thanks and receiving your blessing. We thank you, Lord, that the curse was laid upon you and we no longer bear it. And so we just praise you. We thank you for these things that we seem afflicted in many times, but Lord, we realize that you are the author and finisher of our faith, and you have the ability to bring us through. And you said that you would, Lord, be with us in our troubles. So you use these troubles, you use these struggles, Lord, to bring out of us the perfection of praise, perfection of thanksgiving, the perfection of our love for you. And Lord, we receive these things and thank you for them that you brought into our lives. For the perfecting of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we just thank you and praise you and bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love through these trials that we go through. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, sir. Refining us, all of us. You know, talking, going back to love and what? Amen. That's right, Joe. Glory be to God. Joe says, Cheryl, your old man has lost. Your spirit man has won at the cross. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Talking about love, I remember, how many of you have ever heard the story of Polycarp and his demise? Yeah. When he was going back to Jerusalem, all the brothers said, no, you can't go back to Jerusalem. They'll kill you. They'll, or wherever it was. Was Jerusalem one or was it Rome? I believe it was, well, whichever one it was. Anyway, he said, I have served the Lord for these 30 or 40 years. I forget what it was. And I love him. And I'm going back to Jerusalem. Wherever it was. And he went and they got him. The Romans got him and took him, tied him to a stake and built up a bunch of wood around him. And what he said next was, light your fires. And and what he wanted to go see Jesus. That's what took fear away from him. He wanted to be with Jesus, and he said, I don't care what they do with me. I've served him for 40 years. He went to the cross for me. Now I'm going to the cross for my brothers. And that's what he did. That's the love that God has placed in us to where fear has no bearing whatsoever in our lives or shouldn't have. And that's the closer we get to the Lord, the more we want to be with him, the more his love it permeates our spirit. And that was a lesson to me. I said, my gracious, that's awesome. How that if we love the Lord with all of our heart, nothing can fear us, nothing can bother us. And that's a good lesson. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Well, what you just said, and I was thinking about this earlier about, being not under the law, because the law had to do with, you're breaking God's law and there's punishment for that. And that verse where it says, perfect love casts out fear because fear hath punishment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And then I was thinking about, the sting of death, which we all have to die, either we lose our old man here and we stay on our cross and let that work be done in us, like Cheryl's awesome testimony, loving her enemies the way she has and praying for them and their soul and that kind of thing, and just all that we go through to lose our life in this world. So the sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. And if God took away our sin and Jesus bore it in himself, so we don't have any sin. And if we do sin, we can go to the Lord and confess it and get rid of it, and we're in right standing again. And all these things, all these promises to overcome sin and this stinking thinking about, fearing God and his wrath or his punishment, where Jesus bore it all. The wrath of God was satisfied by what he suffered and sacrificed himself on the cross for me, for you. So there is no fear. How can we have fear if there's no sin, because he took away our sin? And how can we fear God for punishment when Jesus took all that for us too? And we just have, for me, I can only speak for myself, but maybe all can relate to it. But, it's just making, getting that really rooted in myself that God's not looking at my sin. That's all been taken away, and the enemy's trying to trick us and accuse us day and night, up and down, right and left, everywhere you turn, he's throwing something in your face about what you did or not did, to get you looking at yourself or whatever. And even like when you come into judgment, thinking, okay, what have I done? What have I done? I had this test this afternoon. Have you ever bit yourself on your lip or on the inside of your cheek or something?
No,
And I
never
did
have.
this like 5 times today. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. What's going on here? I'm not thinking bad thoughts. I'm not saying anything bad. I was thinking my mouth, as my mouth got me in trouble, And I just rebuked it. I'm like, I am not thinking bad thoughts, Knock it off, Anyhow, it's just I don't know. It's like just being perfected in that love that I know that there's no fear between, having a fear of going to my father for anything, because Jesus made a way for me and he's covered all of that with his blood, his sacrifice, taking away the sin nature, confessing those promises over and over and over again until it gets so much that it's like, the devil just had, he comes and he finds nothing in me, he can't get a foothold in there. He can't trick me. He can't confuse me. He can't keep, doing his tricks on me to try to get me into condemnation over something. Anyhow, it's a battle, right? That's our warfare part of it. Anyways, overcome this, the mind of the flesh, where he can get that. So that's what I was thinking. Just that, the punishment part has to do with your sin. But if he took away our sin and he bore the punishment, why would we fear? We've been perfected in his love because God loves us more than we apprehend yet, but we will apprehend all of his love. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that for us. And there is no sin that you haven't taken care of. You took it all away. You've forgiven us for everything. You died for us when yet we were in sin, and all these promises that we have. And I thank you for doing that for us and taking away all the fear of the wrong kind of thinking, the relationship we may have with you and with our Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That love of Jesus casts out all fear. The only fear we ought to have is with God. That's it. Everything else is incidental if you understand who you are. All right, anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Judy. Judy's going to sing a song here shortly.
Yeah, right. I'll sing with y'all with the recording. You're funny.
Let it be, Jesus, the first name that I call. Let it be, Jesus, my song inside the storm. I'll
and let it be.
Let it be my Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to talk about? Anything I got to pray about? Go ahead, Andrew.
I have a question. Does everybody love God?
Amen. Glory to God.
Yeah. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth unto him perish not, but have everlasting life, then there is a certain amount of confidence you should have. Because what is love attached to? Can you have holiness without love? Can you have righteousness without love? You know, we go to the verses where it says faith that worketh love. But you know, there are nine behaviors of God's Spirit that are supposed to be in us. Should it not be also self-control that worketh love? Should it not be long-suffering that worketh love? And with all the others, joy that worketh love. I mean, they're right beside each other, love, joy. And the peace, you know, peace, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. And, you know, these items, you know, everything goes to that source, you know, of love. Because God is love, okay? And if any abideth in love, he abides in God. You know, it, Jesus had something important to say about that. If any love me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him. Now, we all want the abode. So, you know, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. You need a place to live, and he goes to prepare that place for you. He was going to a place to prepare for them he was talking to, and he's going for a place to prepare for all of the people who will love God. And is there anything that you need other than love? Because you got to know how to love. Because if you love something that's not right, not the truth, then what are you loving? Because there is a love for the other spiritual side too. You know, it even says that they love the darkness down there in after 3:16. You know, I think it's 3:19 or something. So everything gets to focus on this love, you know, and all you want to do is love God, to obey him, but we have to know what the truth is also. And we have to know whether God's correcting us. If it's a fruit of the Spirit, okay, and the interesting thing is all scripture is God-breathed. So that fruit of the Spirit and scripture that we're supposed to love, because he just said, if any love me, he'll keep my word. So it does tend to show you just how much obedience we need to have. And we can't do this unless God reminds us or keeps us in his love. And how does a brand new Christian do it, as opposed to a Christian who has had some practice? And what is in the covenant that he's writing upon your heart and soul? Is he writing it there so you ignore loving him for it? That's a main verse to love, is the new covenant in 8:8 to 8:12 of Hebrews. And I don't think a lot of people know about love when it comes to the new covenant. If you know them by their fruit, then what is the fruit of the Spirit? And, you know, there's so many things that are wrong, and it sounds like you're accusing. So, you know, sometimes, you know, I remember someone using James chapter 4, verse 11 against me. And he did it the wrong way. You know, and the Lord reminded me of that not too long ago. And he wanted me to have a look at James chapter 4. I think it's 4:11. And it says there, Eleven and 12, speak not one against another, brethren. Who speaketh against a brother or judgeth his brother speaketh against the law. Now we want the fulfillment of the law. And we want to love the Lord, right? Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. This is what's happening here. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And judge speaketh against the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not doer of the law, but judge. One is lawgiver and judge. And my suggestion is, if there's a young in the Lord here, you've got to be very careful. Because there was a young in the Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that actually came through and overcame his transgression there. He who can save and destroy. But who art thou that judgest thy neighbor? So there's a song, do not judge, do not judge. And in the lyrics of that song, people forget how to judge. People forget that knowledge and wisdom and understanding and teaching and the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, the strength of the Lord, which would bring understanding and teaching to you. And of course, there's life and holiness here. And the power or gasoline for this light that's supposed to exist in you goes through all the lights. The Holy Spirit light of knowledge and other things, because it is God breathed all scripture and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for discipline in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I may have put some of my own words in there, but you know, if it's every good word and work, then you're loving. Every good word and deed, you're loving him. And how much love can you give to someone who can't comprehend it? Why is there so many divorces in the world? Who hijacked marriage? Is a marriage the institution that's supposed to be done in the justice system of a nation? Or should it be done by church members? And the institutions of government really don't know what marriage is, because look at some of the marriages they are licensing now. So that might seem extreme, but I'm loving them by saying that. Long time ago, if there was a marital problem, you would probably go to the one who married you first. And how can you have this agape if you're going to marry someone? You got to have phileo love. If the whole idea is to start a family, so there's got to be storge in there. And even how you make offspring, the eros love, is needs agape attached to it. So, and I have yet, you know, all the churches know that divorce is rampant, and they all want to give lessons to them. And this love, which is the first fruit of God's Spirit, and it's His Holy Spirit too, and it's His Christ Spirit, to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. But who's the hour? You know, who's the lettuce? Who's us? Who's in any of these in Christ Jesus? No, who's the in? What does the in do? Does he do not in love? Does the us let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit? He's telling you that he's making you an abiding place if you love him. And then he tells you that he's your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works. And good, you know, is one of the fruits of the Spirit, goodness. Goodness that worketh love. So is not God, in effect, not entrapped, but held to his word too for us, we being the, of course, very inferior to him, that we need him so much for this love? And you know, it doesn't say in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the law of God. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God. Now that took love to be born of God. Overcometh the world. And there's the blood. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth. There's the faith that worketh love, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Who is he that would overcome? No, there's three overcomes there. I missed one, you know. And overcometh, overcometh, overcometh. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We have a person who's cleansing us because he loves us, tells us to be separate, tells us to come out from among them, to touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And he's walking in us while he does that. The sanctuary, can you have this love relationship without this sanctuary that he talks about? Without the fellowship with righteousness? The fellowship with righteousness, which probably leads to holiness too right away, and the communion with light or darkness. I mean, if the guy who's the master of the light, God is light and there is no darkness in him at all, and he's gonna walk in us. Wow. You know, I wish I could meditate like this a lot more, you know, and just declare, do you get any light without the love? What is this obedience that we're supposed to have, you know? Of course, we need truth. But the Spirit is truth too. It's the Spirit of truth. And Jesus even says that he's using the Holy Spirit to convict us with this truth, with righteousness. It's kind of spooky, holy spooky and love spooky, you know, because I think it's just a completely very high nature of God, such a high nature for him to come down to us and have us partake of all these things. And it's to being written on us. You know, we're the epistle, bold and read of all men, because that's the covenant. And God wants to write that love upon your heart and mind. You know, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. This is what the Pharisee even said. But he couldn't fully grasp it because he was a lawman. And now the new covenant says that he's going to write it upon their hearts. He told Moses that, the first lawman. You really have to pray for these people who want to be saved or Christian in the judicial system of your nations. The high judges, the judges, the lawyers. You don't look down upon them. It's just, if that's your vocation, how can you not be an inward lawman? You know, before the faith came, you were kept inward under law. Shut up from the faith being revealed. And the Lord, spare them. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. He said that about all those law people that put them on the cross. And it's a good example for us to think about this forgiveness like Jesus did while he was dying. I've even heard it click on some of these martyrs that you read that a substantial high amount of love came for his persecutor. And that's what made him come through it, even though he passed away. And let's not forget that this Apostle John survived his Colosseum in front of a whole venue of people. I don't know what Colosseum it was, that he survived it, and they were angry that he did, and told them, the governor said, send this guy, get rid of him, you know. So they put him on the Isle of Patmos. And he loved so well that he had to help the Church of Ephesus with John's letter to Ephesus. Because you read Paul's letter to Ephesus, which are both God-breathed. And you know, did love vanish from those Ephesians in the next generation? And how many generations has it been? So I'm just saying these things as statements. I'm not saying this to condemn anyone. It's good to try to put everything in order in yourselves, you know, and that's what I'm doing when I make these comments, because I still need to organize. I got to get my alphabet in order, you know. Kids got to learn the alphabet. My grandson still doesn't know it. And he's got to know his 1, 2, 3s too, you know. So he doesn't even know how to speak it yet. And do we know how to speak as we should? Do we know how to love? I hope we do. Because it's in the spirit, and we want to love God. And remember that the warning is that the love of many is going to wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. It says in the 13th of Mark that brother is going to give up brother. And that's an indignation spirit, I think, like it was in Judas. And father, their children, and children, their parents. Because, you know, that's the perspective of Mark compared to this perspective of Matthew. But I believe they're both the red lettering. So what did Mark hear that Matthew didn't? Or Matthew has it in there, too. He does. You just have to find the right verse. And what are we supposed to be watching for? and getting ready for. And I would say this love is high up there since everything else is attached to it. Obedience, you know, and everything is attached to it. And that's why it emulates or abide. You want to abide in that love, to abide in God. So my saying this shows me I need to catch up so much to it, you know. As for the amen, amen, you know, what does it say? Amen, amen there. I showed Ben the amen, amen that I have listed here. Amen, amen, I say unto you, who believeth unto me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. If he's going there and we're raised up with him, I would say love has a lot to do with it, since he's associating his Father with abiding in love and abiding in God. Obedience. We had a happening here in Ontario a few years ago about a parent who was a God-fearing man, spanked his parents, and he spanked his son, and the neighbor saw it. They put everyone on the stand, you know, it was just a judge, no lawyers, and the neighbors said, and the police officer who arrested him said, well, he actually admitted that he did, you know, and the boy said he did, his wife said he did, the neighbors said he did. And finally, he put the boy on the stand because they didn't want this to prolong too much. And in the testimony, the boy told the judge that he did spank him. And then he said this, you know, my daddy spanks me because he loves me. And then many other things were said. The judge had her 15-minute recess. He came back in. He said, case dismissed. And he hit the gavel down because he had to do it that way, because law is different from love. And he says, I'm going to tell you why I'm canceling this. He says, if this boy, I don't want to see him in my courtroom in 10 years when he's 19, 20 years old, you know, whatever, 18, 19, 20. And I'm sure this boy, this is the last time he's going to get spanked, because his dad went to jail for this. And I don't know the outcome of it, but my hope is that's what happened. And yeah, so he was this kind of guy, this boy, that his parents would let him cool off in the room and then go back in there and explain what happened, you know, because you just don't chase him and don't give explanation. Probably even told him a few times that God told him he has to do this. And so chastening for love and long suffering for love. If you suffer for what is good, it's grace. How much love is knit together with grace? Because we wouldn't be talking here with each other if it wasn't grace and love together somehow. And truth also to back it up. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me, by his love, and which is the Father's plan. So it's his love too. When Jesus prayed to have this cup pass from him, the Father's loving answer was probably no. We discussed this, Jesus. You already said it three times before this to your disciples, that this is going to come to pass. And so how does the history of what has already come to pass there, as you well know and were taught, is supposed to come to pass with us today? I just learned something today, but I'm not going to mention it because it's in John 16, in the first few verses, first four or five verses there, and I go, well, he's saying this, but it really hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen in the next few chapters, but what's the time period, And how does it reflect for the person who wants to be restored from what the locusts, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, and the canker worm took from God's crop? And how are you going to get any of that restoration for the latter rain? And how many people need still the former rain? And does love have anything to do with that? Anyways, even if you look at all the people that came off of Noah's boat, when people mess up in family, you go, wow, man, that's pretty bad. But look what happened since then. How many times have they repeated the way of Cain? First, they repeated the way of Cain to put them on the boat. Now, have they repeated the way of Cain to have the end with fire? And what does fire, God's fire, have to do with love? When the people walked with him and said, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke with us as we journeyed with him? But they didn't know who he was when they were talking to him. What if he does the same thing? Seeing as that that's what he did. What if Jesus does the same thing and starts talking to you? What if it's clear in your mind and you turn around and go, I just thought I heard something? I can't speak anymore. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your love in us and help us to understand your love. Yeah. I got a prayer request here. We'll get to it here. From Joe D. DeBrowsey. He started a new job and is. He says it's at a really good place, but he's asking us to pray for him tonight for God to help him and give him grace in transition from one position to another. It's hard work, and he wants prayer that God will give the grace to keep up. He asked me to pray. Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we just pray that for Joe, Lord. We ask and we pray that that this will be a smooth transition for him. It's not going to be a hard work. It's going to be the kind of work that he likes, and the people that he's around, he's going to like as well, Lord. And I thank you that it's going to be a good job for Joe, in Jesus' name. And let's see, there was something else. Yeah, Lord, we just thank you that you give Joe the grace to keep up with whatever it is that he needs to keep up with. And we thank you, Father, that he's got angels around him to help him. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Go ahead, Julie. If you want to pray for Joe.
Yeah, I want to pray too. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Joe and the work you're doing in him and his life and giving him this new opportunity. I pray, Lord, that you will help him to whatever he does it as unto you, as the scripture says, that he works as unto the Lord, that he serves you, not man. He's not trying to be a man pleaser there. He's not trying to not to trying to be seen of man for anything, Lord, that he works and he focuses on what he's being taught there and how to do this job, and keep a low profile, and just be a help him be a quick learner there, and you'll show him great favor with his new employer and those around him. In the name of Jesus, we bless him and we thank you, and Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Joe. Let this be the smoothest transition he's ever had. Amen. All right, Pat, go ahead.
I was pondering those verses about when Jesus is compared, giving the example of love and comparing it to the love of others. In Matthew 22, 37, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thyself, thy neighbor as thyself. And and so there's another verse that he makes another comparison in John 13, 34, he says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. This is John 15, 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. It's interesting that he says, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and that ye love, the second, which is like unto the first commandment, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the comparison in that those verses are is that we love God supremely with our whole mind, soul and strength, and that we love our neighbor as ourself. There's I think a problem in the world with obviously that self or the unsaved person loves themselves supremely above or regardless of God. They love themselves more than they love anything else. And if we, and so there's a comparison that God, you know, he puts out there for us, is that we love him with our whole heart, mind, soul, right? Everything that's there, it's all for him. It's all for his love, for God's love, it's all there. And then the second love is that we love because he says, love thy neighbor as thyself. So there has to be a love for yourself, or respect for yourself, maybe a respect for what God has created in you. But our love for God obviously takes supreme. So I guess that I'm thinking that we, in our makeup of spirit, soul, and body, and this unique experience that we have to experience a separation of our awareness and of ourselves, our spirit, from this old sinful nature that was crucified, that God had nailed to the cross in our spirit, and that this still wants to activate in our carnal perspective, our carnal mind, shall you say, mind of the flesh. And that love that functions there is a love of self-preservation and control, and it wants to control us. It wants to overcome, it wants to be supreme in our life. And in order to do that, it has to overcome, it has to convince us that we should have a greater love for that than we do God. And I think that is the essence of double-mindedness, is that we, when one has a love for themselves and a love for self-preservation as much or equal to that love of God, instead of one taking precedent over the other, the love of God taking precedent over that, it's somewhat equal and allows one to choose either one, whichever one feels better, I guess you might say. So there is a love for one's self, as if, you know, conveyed in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. I'm sorry, in Matthew 22:39, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But that love obviously has to take, has to be subservient or significantly lower than our love for God in order for it to be I guess that the end of that is that this new commandment that Jesus gave us, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And his love is that love that he gave up. He set aside his love for us, because he loved us more than he loved his survival, I guess you might say. So, and that is the love that he wants to exercise within us, a love that we should love one another as he loved us, not just love one another as we love ourselves, but love one another as he loved us. So thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your love that you have placed in us to do exactly that, to love one another even as you loved us and gave yourself up for us. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love for us. And we just, we cry out, we look to you, Lord, to bring forth that love, increase our love as your love in us for one another. And we thank you for it, Lord. We praise you for your love for us and that which you are bringing forth in us. And we just praise you. Thank you and fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Did he just say amen?
I did it. I did it again.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That would be a song made with that in it. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Who's next? Yeah. Yeah, Julie.
So to answer the question anyone may still have, it's okay to say amen when we end our prayer?
If it makes you feel good, go ahead and say it.
I'm going to say it.
Okay. I probably will too. So I'm going to research that out when I get off, find out what he was talking about actually. Okay. Anyone else? We got what, 5 minutes left. So how do we get the love of Christ to us? Yeah, Andrew, I'm sorry. I just now saw you lower your hand.
I was just going to ask a question. When you said that, how do we get the love of Christ in us? And I have a question. I was wondering if we could ever do a study on, you know where it says predestined, called, justified, and glorified? Those last two are really important because many are called. But who's going to be justified and glorified? And all of those have to account for some love there. So I don't get this love. Yeah. So you shall know them by their fruit. And you can identify love, and I guess. But I was kind of wondering how you glorify God. You know, when God manifests through you or shines through you, you know, it kind of all collated and it came all into his choreographing for you to do that. So this is how I think glorification happens, but if the glorification is God, that's this light, and in him is no darkness at all. So that's my answer to how do you get this love? You know, it comes from God. So
we're reading the word, studying the word.
Everything is back to the source, to the Almighty. Praise
them,
glory to God.
David's got a book called Predestined, Called, and Elect. Okay, so no one else got something here. We've got about 3 minutes. That's a good, that's, we can do that. One, two, three. Yeah, that's right, Joe. Only one sin for a believer is to step out of God and love. You know, I was thinking about that the other day, about love, and it's something that we ought to continually keep on our mind to show love to everybody around us. Sometimes we resort back to the flesh, and that's bad, but then we just we keep on, we repent and come on back and do it again, you know. What would Jesus do? You know, that little band of the people got, what would Jesus do? Well, that's pretty good, little old band. I got one on a cup here somewhere down here. And if we just keep it in our mind, you know, what would you do if you were in that situation? You know, where best thing to do, I've found out from Michael, is just to keep my mouth shut most of the time. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, Andrew.
You know what Jesus had to say about that, eh? I only do what my father tells me to do, and I only say what my father tells me to say. So, I don't know. Jesus was pretty silent when he was going to his cross, you know. Oh, boy. So, you did answer in the positive there, Michael. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I find that's the best thing to do is just be quiet for a while. Let everybody else talk. How many of you, I know none of y'all have ever done what I've done, is just open my mouth before I think about what I'm saying. I know y'all have never done that. Now you need to repent. Oh, man. Well, okay, we're out of time, it looks like. Lord, thank you for your for showing us what love is by out of your word, Lord, and let us study that and get it in our spirit so we can just show that love to everybody. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Lord. And I ask and I pray that you bless everybody after they get off to do whatever it is that you want them to do, Lord. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for blessing Brother David tonight, too. And I thank you for that, too, Lord. And I thank you for provisions for the ministry in Jesus' name. All right. Y'all be blessed to you. Uh-oh, I started it.